You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. This week's episode is split into two sides. This is Side A.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Clock Radio Speakers. I am your co-host, Armand Wake Up. You can follow me on all social media at Armand Wake Up. A-R-M-O-N-D, Wake Up, all one word. More important than that, please, please, please follow the official Clock Radio Speakers Twitter handle, which is at CRS Podcast. We are also on Instagram with the same name. We're on Facebook as well. At Clock Radio Speakers, all previous 300 some odd episodes are available on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, everywhere you get podcasts, except for you know where, because you know why. And what's the clock radio without the speaker? Doc is in the building. Holla at your boy. What's going on, sir?
Oh, man. Everything's good. Y'all can follow me on Twitter if you want, at Doc underscore Beats, S not a Z. But like Armand said, just follow the show at CRS Podcast. Yeah, man, I don't know. I know you had a good day today because I saw your favorite rap group of the past 20 years.
I'd say so, yeah.
As they're going to do a tour.
They're going to do a tour.
So Little Brother. Well, so help me out here.
Yes.
Is it Little Brother without Ninth Wonder?
Yes.
Okay.
I would say yes.
Okay.
Because they have operated, because they functioned as Little Brother without Ninth. Of course, we know them as the trio, but I think that they can still function. I mean, if Boys to Men can still function without, what's the deep voice guy's name? Is that Michael?
Yeah, that's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing for men. They're going to be here free concert in August.
Well, y'all got the free concerts really lining up, right? You got because Jazz Fest is free, right?
Yes. Follow us on Instagram for all of the random hilarity.
Right, because you can see Jizz Alive. That'd be, you know. After watching half of the Wu-Tang documentary, he's looking like a typical Jazz Fest attendee. So that's a really good.
He definitely has V-neck sleeveless Argyle sweaters and baggy jean shorts with either Air Force Ones or random Air Maxes. 100%.
Somebody definitely calls him Uncle at a cookout.
Unk. Not DJ Unk, but yes, he gets the Uncle treatment for sure.
We can talk about that in a second. So Little Brother. Sorry.
We went from Little Brother to just
at a cookout.
Yeah, Little Brother, they announced that they are returning as a group, new music and a new tour. Sans Ninth Wonder, which has me excited and concerned at the same time.
Well, the tour you'd be fine with.
Kind of, because Fonte goes out of his way to talk about how much he hates touring. So as a man, if you don't want to do it, then don't do it.
Right.
You know, so that's what I'm kind of concerned about. But the fan is like, yes, I finally get to see one of my favorite groups live, because I'm one wherever they're going. I'm sure they're not going to Columbus. They'll end up in Indianapolis or Detroit or something. I'll have to make a drive, but I will be there. And so, yeah, my concern is when they function as the two, they're not that good.
They're missing that element.
They're missing that Ninth Wonder element. So it made me, I posed a question on social media that was like, you know, who would handle the production? Excuse me. And I feel like Ninth is still sending beats.
Yeah, they're going to have at least one Ninth Wonder record on there.
They should have more.
Well, sure.
They should have one. And a friend of the show, Cash Hollister, said that Crisis will probably contribute.
Yep.
And those of us know that for a while, Crisis has kind of been washing Ninth with the beats. So that's not bad. But it's still, you still want, in this element, you still want Ninth.
Yeah.
I mean, where else can you go? I'm sure, you know, I'm thinking about all your Illmind's, and I'm sure there'll be some Soul Council guys. Like, they'll find it, but like, do I want it is the more important question.
Well, you know, when they hit you up for the collab, you could just say, listen, I'm sitting on like 1,000 beats from Doc. So, you know.
Look, man. Look.
We got to do something. I'm actually getting close to 1,000.
You are. We got to do something with these beats. We got to do something with these beats that I know I'm not going to use.
Well, that's like, the other thing, right? If we could just figure out what you're not going to use. Actually, I don't know what to do with the other stuff.
Because like, that's the bad part. I'll come back like 2 years later and be like, yo, beat 842 is crazy. And you'll be like, beat what?
Armand's always like 200 beats behind where I want. It never ceases. Like it always says, when I was in the 500s, he's like, yo, the 300s. Then when I was in the 700s, he's like, yo, these 500s?
Yeah, seriously. I mean, your three, I still say your threes and your fours.
It's a good time.
That was a good time. And, you know, 723 was on Even If I Lose. I think you were well into the eights when I decided to pick out 723.
That's true. I've been feeling good about the nines, though. It's been a good run lately.
Nines have been really, really good. Yep. Who's this? Okay, get rid of you. Yeah, nines have been really, really good. So I'm excited. I guess I'm just excited as a little brother fan. Like, I guess to a degree, I don't care. I just want new little brother, and I'm excited to see them reconcile, especially after all the everything that they experienced, which you can check out if you check out our Justice League retrospective on clockradiospeakers.com.
It's episode 197.
thank you for that. Thank you for looking that up. So yeah. What else is going on?
Well, we talked about GZA briefly, but
yes.
So I'm halfway through the Wu-Tang documentary.
Okay.
The pacing has been weird, but I guess it kind of makes a little. Like I was trying to think about it, and like I guess so. It's four episodes, and I guess if you were to try to sketch out, if you were to sort of like put the group's time into four buckets, you might go. The history and creation of the group, them coming together to make 36 Chambers. I'm assuming this next one is going to be everything between 36 Chambers and Forever and then some of the stuff after. But I'm not really sure.
Part three?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then part four is basically, here's what's been happening for the last 20 years.
I don't want to spoil part four for you, but it's part that and part some other stuff.
It
speaks to your pacing point.
Right. I don't know if I quite would have done it that way. Like the fact that we're halfway through and we've just like, we haven't like, we've sort of teased a little bit like Meth's album and ODB's album, but we haven't really gotten fully there. They bring in Divine at the end of episode two, like some sort of like Game of Thrones style cliffhanger. Like he's a villain or something. So I'm that's an interesting spot that I'm at.
Yeah, you are.
In some cases, we're getting details that are great. I love that they're giving us some of the stuff from live performances, but like they really leaned really heavy on Protect Your Neck and Cream. I mean, they must have played various live performances that for like a good 20 minutes, those first two episodes total. Like it was a lot. It's like, I get it, but like, okay. Like they had a lot more stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say, we also have to preface the show if you're a new listener. Doc is... we did a three-part Wu-Tang retrospective, which mostly, out of those 3 hours, and a half of them consist of Doc nerding out about something related to the Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah, and I should really say, like, when I say... When we say it's a... like, it's a three-part retro, like, each one... is like incredibly long.
It's like two and a half hours.
Each one. Yeah. Yep. It's not three sides. It's three different episodes. Like it's a lot.
Listen, Doc, if it was up to Doc, like we would have listened to like, do we listen to Kill Army's second album? We went kind of deep in some regards.
I think so. Now this is episode 40, 41, and 42. So like,
wow,
the sound quality is going to be terrible.
Nobody's
I'm just warning everybody. But
did we talk about Sons of Man, Shining Star?
Oh yeah, we went deep.
It's a terrible record.
Anyway,
that's a terrible record. Anyway, yes.
Anyway, so the pacing feels a little weird. Like if like we're halfway through. And we haven't even really gotten to their super popular point. Like, I want to hear, like, I mean, I'm curious to see how action-packed part three is, right? But it's like, Meth blows up. He crosses over with "You're All I Need." You know, we've got I consider it the trilogy, but the very least, like, the two very widely regarded as classic solos, Liquid Swords and Cuban Lynx, Ghost's album. You already confirmed for me they don't really talk about the flood, or actually, truth be told, the floods. There were multiple water problems.
Yeah, at all.
Right, and then the creation, them coming together to make Wu-Tang Forever. Uh-huh. Like, I just pray, like, at some point, maybe it's part three. I don't know if it's part four. Like, I need to hear, like, I need somebody to say, "Can you explain Bobby Digital?" I'm guessing they probably skate right past that because they're just gonna be out of time.
All I'm gonna say is they had time to cover more than they did.
Yeah, I'm guessing they're gonna give some showtime to what is, no pun intended, what is the like truly a crucial moment in the band's history, which is when the tour with Rage Against the Machine breaks apart.
Yes,
I'm guessing
that's basically
that, right. That's the downfall.
Yeah, it's the downfall. Yes,
right.
Yes.
So like I'm guessing the release of Wu-Tang Forever and that tour, which happens summer '97, like they're gonna spend some time on that.
Yes. Yes. Part three is fine. Like, I don't
it's
have any issues with
packed,
the first.
I'm guessing.
Yeah. Yeah. Part four is where I'm like, okay, you could have stretched out some of the stuff in part one, two, and three, and then you wouldn't have had to do part four the way you did. Like, part four is still informative, but it drags at times and it's not necessary.
Well, I think one of the interesting things is when you try to consider, like, who is the audience for this, right? So, like, one audience is definitely like Wu-Tang fans.
Yes.
Right. But I think another audience is, you know, there have been like, there's a long history of rock and roll documentaries, right? Which attempt to sort of place that particular band in like a historical context. And it becomes this like sort of, oh, like if you're a really famous band and you have a documentary about you, I think it's noteworthy that Wu-Tang is getting one. And I think when you think about it that way, like, I'll reserve judgment until I finish watching the whole thing. But like, it really comes down to like, is this for the nerds? Or is this for, you know, is this meant to be like, if you don't know anything about the Wu-Tang, watch these four things and you'll know enough. You'll know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's that.
I assumed as much. Now, what I've seen floating around online is they have like basically deleted scenes.
Oh, really? Okay.
Right. So like I haven't gone to watch them because I want to watch the whole thing. But like if the approach they took was because this is the era of streaming and infinite options.
Right.
Like, yeah, have the four part whatever. But if you're telling me you can have like a 10-minute deleted scene where you do a deep dive on like something in particular, like that's the stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because they don't really go into depth on Meth superstardom.
That's
they don't go into depth on Ray's 95.
Ugh.
Like they talk about Ray having a successful run with Cuban Lynx, but they don't really talk about like, yo, Ray and Big were necking. It was Ray, Big, and Prodigy in 95.
Yeah.
Like, those were the three rappers in hip-hop. Not in New York. In hip-hop. And you probably would add Snoop in that category. That's it. And in 95, I don't know if you add Snoop in that category. And you might add Meth in that category, too. Like, that might be the five.
Mm.
So there's just a lot that they went into depth on certain things that I really enjoyed, and then they skimmed over things that I wish they would have gone into detail with. But at the same time, I will say that's kind of nitpicky, and I still left satisfied. Like, it was still an enjoyable watch. One thing that I did like and that I appreciate that they did is that RZA tried to Puff Daddy and Notorious himself, and they didn't let him do that. He totally was, yo, I just wanted to help all my brothers out. And they told a lot of the financial woes, that was a big focal point in part three and four. And I think they alluded to it in part two, maybe. But I know three and four, it's a really, really big part. So I'm glad they told that. And I'm glad they got Divine to talk about that, too. I wish Power would have talked more about it. They didn't really get him on camera as much. And I didn't even know they had another manager who was still there.
Yeah.
So they had three managers. I mean, but for nine people, sure.
I mean, but it's the problem, right? It's a lot of mouths to feed.
Lots of mouths. Yeah. And the first manager talked about that when RZA brought Power and Divine on. And I didn't know RZA and Divine were brothers. I didn't know Risen Divine moved to Ohio for a point. I thought was interesting.
That's why, because Kill Army is from Ohio, I think, right?
Are they?
There's some Ohio connection there for sure.
Let me hit up friend of the show, Trav Dave, and see. You get that.
Is that right? Is it Kill Army? A Fourth Disciple's from Ohio.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah, he...
Maybe he can get on this next Bow Wow mixtape.
Yeah, he's from Steubenville.
I have no idea what Steubenville is. Oh, they definitely talk about the auctioned album.
I don't care about that.
No, it's interesting. Okay. It's interesting. Yeah. To like know how it got put together. Yeah, I'm not gonna spoil it for you, but it's interesting. Just text me when you watch it.
Okay.
All right. Anything else Wu-Tang related? Because this is your thing. This is your bag.
No. Just you know.
I wish they would have had a deep dive on Black Shampoo. Oh man. All right, what else?
You want to talk about the NBA?
Let's do it.
All right. Man. So we have not talked about the draft lottery.
We have not.
What team are you a fan of?
I don't even know. I'm a fan of players. I'm not really a team. I haven't really been a team guy.
I'm the same way.
Yeah. I haven't been a team guy since maybe the Bulls.
Go ahead. It's the 90s Bulls. We all were.
Yeah. I feel like I was a fan of other teams before. I mean, but I think it came back to, like, I was a Heat fan, but then I'm just a LeBron fan. Like, whatever. But yeah, I'm a fan of players.
Okay. Now, we all know various Knick fans in our life.
Yeah.
On the one hand, like, yeah, we want to laugh at them, whatever. But, like, it's kind of amazing. Like, they really were, like, all in. They were
on the Zion train.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
It was a super interesting lottery this year. I think they're gonna have to get better at communicating on the fly during next year's lottery. Like, oh, if this team jumps up, if this team is at this spot, it means this team jumped. Like, they can graphically maybe represent that a little bit because it goes really fast.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting to me is like it's very clearly like a made for TV thing. Right, it's all just mm-hmm. for show, but they have announcers announcing it separately, right? It would almost be like if the way that the NCAA bracket was announced is if you had the head of the NCAA standing at a podium announcing the seeds, and then you still had the panel kind of like whispering and trying to comment over the top of it. It would feel really strange. Like they should just like admit that it's a totally for TV thing and just like have like roll it out. You know what I mean? Like, you could say, and with the 13th pick, it's this. And you can pause for a second and go, yep, this is exactly what we expected, blah, 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 move on. When there's a change, you can go, okay. So just so you know, like they didn't really do a good job of explaining that, I think. Like I'm a nerd and I was like, I knew all the drafts and I was like ready and I was like, I was ready. But like, I think a lot of people were like, wait, what's going on? I don't know.
Yeah.
What did you think?
Just everything. Well, I missed it for one.
Oh, watching it live is the best part.
I know. I wasn't home. Like I was rushing home. I was doing something. I was just doing something boyfriend related. Like my girl just moved into a new spot, so she's got me doing random tasks.
It's called a honey-do list.
Yes. Yeah. But it's funny though, because she's really, really independent. So sometimes I kind of have to muscle her into doing, like, put some more on the honey-do list.
Mm.
Like you're killing me right now. I got home right after they announced the Pelicans got the number one pick.
Yeah.
It's not funny to watch Knicks fans squirm like this, because after a while it's just like, all right. But at the same time, if anything positive happens to Knicks fans, they immediately become like insufferable.
What would have been more insufferable? The Knicks fans getting the number one pick or the Lakers getting the number one pick?
Oh,
the Lakers.
Yeah, because I was trying to think of the difference between Knicks fans and Lakers fans. They're both very entitled. They both are unrealistic. But there has to be something that separates the two, right?
I mean, neither team has been great the past couple years, but like the Knicks have, it's been a while.
It's been a while.
It's been a while.
It's been, what, 99? That Larry Johnson team?
Yeah, and like, oh man, what an off season. What an off season it's going to be. I can't wait.
Oh yeah. I just saw somewhere that he's agreed to it verbally, whatever, I think 4 years, $191 million with the Blazers.
Yeah, pay him.
Yeah, pay him. Absolutely. Pay that man. Give him his Supermax. Let him, yeah. Okay, so anything else draft related? I don't think so.
Do you think the Pelicans keep Anthony Davis and try to pair him with Zion, or you think they get rid of him?
I have no idea what New Orleans is doing. I don't even want to guess because I'm going to get like a headache thinking of it. Because I don't know. Do you hinge? Because again, I want to see Zion play in a league. You know, like I want to see him in the NBA. Is he going to be as dominant? I'm not saying that I don't believe it. I just want to see it. You know, when he's in high school dunking on, you know, tiny white kids, sure, he looks dominant. When he's in college, you know, dunking on skinny black kids, sure, he looks dominant. But like, now you're not the big guy. You know, what is that going to do to his psyche? Is he going to have to adjust his game? Like, who's the veteran that's going to like absolutely frustrate him? And he's going to have to learn basketball. Because that's the thing, right? Is that it happens to everybody. Like, you come in and yeah, you have a certain level of basketball IQ, but when you get into the league where like the last player on the bench anywhere else is a superstar, unless it's like Enes Kanter or something like that, then you get out thunk, where like your physical prowess isn't enough when you get to the league. You just can't be really good. You have to really know the game. And you have to play it the right way in order to be successful. I think that's something that Joel Embiid is going to learn this offseason. With that loss, I think he's going to come back and absolutely destroy everything. He's going to have a monster year barring injury, because that's what happens with great players. And I think Joel Embiid has the potential to be great. I think he's approaching it. And I think that something like this, like a heartbreaking loss where you just couldn't help it. Like, I think Philly as a whole, if they bring back the majority of that team, yeah, they're going to be nasty. And I think it'll be Philly and Milwaukee for a long time because Kawhi clearly shouldn't stay in Toronto.
I don't know, because
it's Kawhi and the Pips.
I don't know what Philly's doing. That team doesn't work.
I think you get rid of Ben Simmons if you get rid of anybody.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's easy. You know, that's a complicated situation.
Sure.
So, As we both, I think, mostly thought, right? Warriors are going to be in the finals.
You know what makes me mad about that? For a few things. Like, one, I wanted to know what Denver would have done. Not to say that they had a better shot. I think they were a better team than Portland. Not to say that Golden State still wouldn't have beat them. But when you think about it, and you know I hate Golden State, but like they really swept a 3 seed in the Western Conference Finals without two of your star players, and you went to overtime once, and Portland should be up 3-1 right now. Instead, they got swept. That's a testament. Like, we can talk about Dame separated ribs, we can talk about all that stuff, but like, end of the day, it's a testament to how good Golden State is. That system is, it just works.
I mean,
but I hate them.
It's a testament to Steph Curry, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a testament to Steph Curry. 100%. Yeah. He went supernova. Like, you can't beat him when he does that. It's over. Because he's just unguardable. There were plays, you know, the last game where like he's just darting around the court trying to pick his spot, etc. Like, nothing fazes him, and he just needs a sliver of time. Like, when he is on, what do you do? Right?
Here's a question I have. I don't want to talk about Steph right now. We'll finish the Steph conversation. We have to go left. We have to have another conversation. Yeah, sure. Steph Curry. Yes, absolutely.
It's really got to hurt you that Draymond Green has decided to play better.
How does Draymond miss every single three? They leave him open all game because if it's between Klay, Steph, and Draymond, if Draymond shoots the three, you live with that. And for all of game four, he missed every single three, except for the one that mattered most. Hate it. I hate him. I want to punch him in the teeth, but his teeth look really strong and they might, I might break my hand again. I hate Draymond Green. But I'm a hater. I'm cool with that. I'm cool being a Golden State hater. I am. It's fine.
Anything else you want to say about the Warriors?
No.
Do you think it's going to be, is it going to be Milwaukee or Toronto?
Milwaukee, 100%. Gentlemen sweep.
Okay.
They got their one win. Milwaukee didn't play well and it took two overtimes and for Giannis to foul out. Wait, was it two overtimes or one?
One.
Okay. Well, he fouled out in overtime. It was two. Okay.
It's maybe it's two. I can't. I don't know. So there's been a lot of overtimes this postseason. It's crazy.
Yes, they have. Yes, they have. Yep. Yeah. Gentlemen sweep.
Okay. And so Warriors, Bucks, who you got?
I want to say Warriors in six, but likely Warriors in five.
Yeah. Basically, if the Bucks, like supporting cast, if they're not going to, if they're not going to hit the open threes that Golden State's going to give them, then like, I don't know, man.
Y'all got to stop shooting these threes, dog.
Oh, no.
Stop shooting threes.
Are you in on the analytics is ruining the game wave?
No, I just see a lot of players taking lazy threes when like there's like 8 feet between them and like a better shot. Drive and shoot a floater. Drive, stop on a dime and pop a 12-footer, a 10-footer, 15-footer. Like, you're swinging the ball around kind of, and then you're aiming for the three. Like, that last play, like, they could have drove on that play. Yeah. Or at least, like, tried to get a foul because refs weren't calling a lot, but you make them not call that instead of Dame shooting a fadeaway three in the corner with Klay's hand in his face. And Klay's their best defender, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, aside from best, Draymond, but yeah.
Yeah. So one of the best defenders, hand in the face of your player, your star player, who hasn't been playing that well. Yesterday was probably his best game in a while, to include the Denver series. Like, you don't live with that. That's not the play you draw up when you have 2 seconds with the ball on your baseline. It wasn't necessary. But I guess neither was Dame's three from 86 feet out, right?
I mean, that's the problem. Like, when you have the kind of confidence that an NBA player has and when you have hit ridiculous shots, you think you can always hit ridiculous shots.
Yeah.
So, anything else you want to say about the playoffs?
I'm just really sad about whatever I'm going to do with my life after June.
Well, we get... it'll be beautiful outside. You can, you know... Go outside. Your kids are going to be around.
Shut up. Like, go outside. Enjoy humanity.
You're like, no.
No. I will say, looking at getting some Big Three tickets, though.
Oh, man. That's...
Don't do that.
Oh, boy.
Don't do that.
Are they affordable?
They have general admission seats that are nosebleeds for like $20.
Whoa, that's
And then seats started, I think the cheapest seats are like 40, like 45.
Are they misunderstanding their market?
I mean, they got to pay for that Sharif Abdul-Rahim contract.
It comes off the books in 2021, you know, it's going to be.
I mean, I just want to see how it's played out. I want to see it. And Indianapolis that's 2.5 hours. That's nothing. Especially in the summer. That's nothing.
I have like a mental block. Like, if I'm not going to see like a major league game, like if I'm seeing a minor league game or if I'm seeing a college game, like there's a certain dollar. Actually, I would spend more money to see a college game than I would to see a Big Three game.
Oh, no. But you're a college guy. Like, well, anybody who follows you on social media knows that you're big into college sports.
Yeah. But like, also, I don't know, like, no offense, like how hard are those Big Three guys really going to be trying? Right.
Nah.
Okay.
Have you watched?
There's gonna be some pride,
game?
But you know, there's probably gonna be a little bit of like the nobody pull any hamstrings.
Listen, I didn't get to boo Eddie House in his prime. So if I got to pay $40 and drive 2.5 hours to do it, then that's what I'm doing.
It's your version of the player haters ball.
Yes. Yes. Eddie House has dolphin teeth. We might have to do, can we do a definitive 15 on Chappelle skits?
Yeah, skits, not episodes. And say, 'cause if it's episodes,
no.
Because it's just, okay, pick the 15 best of seasons one and two, right? But skits, that's interesting.
Mm. I think we could do skits.
Okay.
I think that'd be interesting.
Okay. Do you want to talk at all about your man, Big Bang Magic Johnson? It's his new nickname.
Big Bang
Johnson. He's got the bald head.
He's got the bald head.
He's a little thicker now.
Man. That... Man, medicine, and when you have the money to pay for medicine, it's a really interesting thing. Yes.
So Magic Johnson showed up to the Entertainment Sports Something Network and
TMZ, ESPN. Yep.
Yeah. and decided that he was going to, I don't even know if it's right to say throw the Lakers and specifically Pelinka under the bus.
Oh no, he threw Pelinka under several buses.
He just hit him with a 4x4. Like he hacksaw Jim Duggan'd him like right across.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
He kicked him through the glass. He did
yes,
it all.
Yes, yes. He definitely Marty Jannetty
Rob Pelinka for
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. Genie Buss's Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
Do you think he does he know that he's like an NBA legend and this is not what you're supposed to do?
But I mean, what do you do now? I think Magic looks at himself as more than
the Dodgers. He owns businesses. I don't know. Go about your day.
But that was the whole thing, right? Like if you see Magic successful in all these other fields, but then like the Lakers organization is falling apart, does it fall on Magic if everything else is fine? Or does that, because I think I read somewhere where the Lakers is the only NBA team that's not owned by a corporation, right?
I don't think that's true.
Or owned by, I forgot the talk while I look for something. Hold on.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying we blame. He is not solely responsible. But like, all I'm saying is like, it. You didn't have to say anything. There was no obligation to go on First Take and get your bars off.
Yeah, he did.
Why?
Because he's Magic Johnson. Magic has an E. If you can't tell by that, Magic is a shrewd businessman. Like, clearly is just in a good space, but like Magic has an ego.
Yeah.
And Magic has always had an ego. And what your ego will do, your ego will say, I need, because the narrative on Magic was negative. How he quit. Did you watch the shop with Bron and Lonzo?
No.
Okay, and they kind of talked about like, okay, so where were you at when Magic quit? And Bron and Lonzo were like, we were in the locker room. We didn't know. And we all just kind of found out together and we were all shocked. Like, that's not a good narrative on Magic. That's not one that Magic is going to want to roll with.
That's not a narrative. Those are facts.
It is. But when you say, so if the narrative is I walked out on the team.
Uh-huh.
And then you come back and you say, well, I did walk out on the team, but Rob Pelinka was doing this, this, and this. And this is why I felt like I had to leave in that way. And then double back and say, you know what? I probably should have left in a different way. That's the best cleanup he could do. That's the best genuine dance with the broom that Magic could do to clean that up. You can't just, Magic's not going to let that story float out.
He made it worse.
You think so?
Yes.
How so? I don't think he did, but how so?
He just burned, he tried to light the bridge back to the Lakers on fire. He thinks that he is so important to the Lakers' history that he can say whatever he wants. And he might be right, but why would you test that? Good God, man.
Because he's Magic Johnson. And he's got an ego. I agree with you on that point. Yes. He could have kept his mouth shut, but he didn't.
Even just to go on First Take and be like, I was really frustrated. Like, there are ways to say, like, you know what? I was really frustrated. We thought things were going to work out one way. And all he had to say was, you know, look, we thought that it would really work out for like Rob to do his thing, me to do my thing. And it turns out I like being the sole person in charge and it just didn't work out. So I decided to, you know, to clean up the situation. Like there's ways to tap dance and lie. No, he went there like he wanted to throw dirt on him.
Yeah.
Why? That wasn't about his ego. He was like settling a score. But it's true. Like, it's funny. We forget. I mean, I'm forgetting right now, right? Like, I mean, just because you're rich and famous doesn't mean that you're not human, and you don't want to feel like that you don't, you know, catch feelings or that, you know, whatever. Like, but you know, Magic, you know, he needed that freedom to you know, drop his gems on Twitter.
Yeah. I mean, I forgot about Magic's tweeting. I forgot about till people started bringing up his old tweets.
Yeah, like, I don't know, man. It was a bad idea. Like, it's generally never a good idea if you're in a situation where it's like, normally this is one person's job, but we made it two people's jobs.
Right? Yeah.
The Lakers are they're doing the same thing where it's like, yeah, we hired Frank Vogel, but we also have Jason Kidd. And it's like, yeah, that's going to work real well.
Yeah.
Jason Kidd, who, you know, after we all saw what happened with the Bucks, I don't understand how anybody's hiring him. But, you know, players trust him, especially Bron, trust him, believe that he's like a basketball genius. And so they're going to keep giving him chances.
I am concerned about the organization now. I think it looks worse on the Lakers than it does on Magic.
Oh, the whole thing for the Lakers is a mess, but like,
yeah,
Magic didn't have to do any of that.
But he didn't, so here we are.
Right, he did it.
But he did, so here, I'm sorry.
It's not quite like doing it for the hot take, but like, yeah, he wanted those retweets. Like, he just went and did his thing, and it's like, okay, so you scored some points. Cool, man. Like, you really think that like you're going to be like in the inner circle in the Lakers for at least the short term? No.
Let's see what happens in 10 years.
Sure.
10 years nowadays is like 30 years.
Right. 10 years.
20 years ago.
I mean, LeBron will still be playing in 10 years, so you know.
He'll be Jax from Mortal Kombat. When his knees go out on him, he'll just replace them with cyrogenic limbs. He'll play for another 5 years after his 4-year contract runs out.
All right.
Absolutely.
Anything else you want to say about the NBA?
Nah, let's keep it moving.
So, your man Chance the Rapper.
Opportunity the Lyricist. What happened?
He's got a new single. But like, this album is a single coming, right? From the album.
Yes.
The single's called Groceries.
Okay.
It's produced by Murder Beats.
Okay.
It is Chance is making records for the kids. It's for the youths.
I heard a piece of it. But what was more polarizing was, like, I just saw a video of him and some random kids, like, doing Musical.ly's, like, in front of their bathroom mirror.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry, Musical.ly?
I'm sorry, TikTok.
Oh, yeah. I apologize. TikTok. There's Triller.
I'll find all this stuff out in a week. When my daughter's here, she'll tell me about all this stuff is. Because I allow her to get on two social media platforms.
Oh, well, TikTok's going to be one of them.
No, TikTok. Well, she loved Musical.ly. And then when Musical.ly became TikTok, she hates it.
Oh.
She hates it now. Yep. Well, should have thought about that before you made your choice. Should have thought about businesses getting bought out.
It's a valuable lesson to learn, young youth.
Yes, it is.
That'll teach you about conglomerations.
Absolutely.
How has Bun B not sued the makers of Triller? Do you think he...
What about Rick Ross?
Yeah, so like Chance was... I think Chance even like premiered the song on Triller, which is fascinating.
Very interesting. Okay.
Because they're all trying to get... Like he's not dumb. He sees how songs pick up steam and go viral.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because people do like, it's like memes and videos and people dancing and all this other stuff like on TikTok and I guess on Triller as well. Like, you know, your man, you know, Lil Nas X on, you know, Old Town Road, like heavily came from stuff like TikTok.
Right.
And so that is like a real legit like way that you can get your stuff to try to get some traction. Because like I hear Groceries and I'm just like, no.
Right.
This is... Chance, come on, man.
Come on, man.
Come on, man. But like...
Can't believe they just completely jacked Ed Lover from that. That was terrible. Anyway.
But like, you know, I'll give him credit. Like, I think there are definitely like more big name artists than I would have expected explicitly like trying to get people to do like videos of their stuff on these platforms. Like it's way more like, oh, you should do a thing. Like it's way more, it's already way more like promotional than I thought it would have been.
So go ahead.
But I was going to say, but like, it's clear Chance isn't the first. He won't be the last. He's just one that I really sort of noticed, especially it was a really obvious part of his rollout for the song, where it's going to be like trying to like get people like invested and interested, because it's all tied into this, like, if you follow the artist on this platform, you get to see this part of their life and you feel like they're a part of, and you know, it's not, you stop thinking about music solely as this, like, I'm a fan of yours. You put out music. I listen to a song and I judge. Like, if you like are getting sneak peeks along the way, like it's about this relationship or implied relationship or imagined relationship, but this relationship that fans now have with artists that they follow on social platforms. And so like, how do you take that and push your music? And like I said, Chance is not the first. He won't be the last. It's only going to become more and more prominent. And so like, I've been thinking about this in the context of like what you're about to do.
Yes.
Right. Which is to put some music out.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, and like the biggest thing about the way that music has changed, even in the last 5 years, right, but certainly the last 10, is like, there is no one way, and not just no one way, there is no one right way. It depends on the song. It depends on who you're trying to target. It's like, it's both easier and harder than ever to release music in a weird sense.
Yep.
How do you do it? Where do you do it? What's the all this stuff. And so, yeah, I just thought it was really interesting. The most interesting part about the song to me really is like, and what I was how Chance rolled it out. And what I want to see is like, does this work? Right? Because this is not a song that you hear it and you're like, yep, that's a hit. Like, it's kind of catchy in some ways, but like, it needs to be worked in sort of that old school, like radio parlance, right? Where you got like, you know, the label's got the big promo budget and they're doing whatever. Like, if that's your single, you have to work that single. But like, can you get this virality going to work it? And does that actually work for Chance? That's what I want to see.
So it kind of reminds me of what Beyonce recently did with Before I Let Go.
Mm.
Because she used Instagram to launch a challenge.
Everybody's doing challenges now, man.
Everybody's doing challenges now. And what's interesting about Chance versus Beyonce is I haven't seen anybody else post, maybe because I don't have Triller or whatever was the name of the app.
Yeah, Triller.
Oh, it was Triller.
I'm scrolling through Triller right now, and it's a whole lot of Chance videos. Oh, and Go Loco.
The YG record?
Yeah.
Interesting.
But I'm like, it's literally a video. Here's YG on Triller dancing around to his own record.
Interesting.
That, by the way, that that song is catchier than it should be.
I don't even remember it.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So that's very interesting. Where you are attaching. Okay. I'm going to process this in real time. So you're attaching your song to a secondary social media platform, and the hope is that, you know, when you do something on one app, it translates or carries over to another. So you see all of this steam on Triller, and eventually somebody will like their video that they do on Triller. They'll download it and they'll post it on Twitter. They'll post it on Facebook. They'll post it on Instagram. And essentially you get the audience to help you work the record across different platforms. And because it's on the secondary platform, it's got more eyes on it, because it's not like, we'll say Twitter, for example, where you can have a billion different conversations and still not be heard by anybody. That's really interesting.
Yeah, this is all it's all challenges. Like, I'm scrolling through what's trending on this on Triller, and it's just like groceries. There's a Go Loco challenge.
Text my dog.
Yeah.
How do you spell Triller?
Exactly what you think. It's Triller.
Like Bryson Tiller with an R?
Yeah. Like a Bun B album title, Triller.
Okay, Triller. All right, I just texted my daughter and asked her if she had it. She's going to say no because I didn't allow her to have it. But she'll know about it.
She'll be like, no, but I've been meaning to ask you about it.
Yes. Because she wants to get on Snapchat. And I'm like, nah, bro. Like, I'm not letting you go anywhere where messages disappear. It's not happening.
I like Snapchat, though.
Snapchat is cool. Just she won't use it.
Yeah. Snapchat is the perfect answer to, like, the problem of when I want to, like, send Marissa dumb pictures of stuff throughout the day and I don't want to clutter up our texts.
Mm.
But then I get to the problem of, like, we have, like, 5 different ways to text each other.
Yes. Yep. Yep. Yep.
And it's like, wait, was that an Instagram DM or was that? Oh, it's like,
yep. 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 I'm like that with a lot of people. We'll have a text conversation. We'll have an Instagram conversation. We'll have group chats. It's a lot.
You know,
where do we talk about that at?
You know, it'd be a good way. A really interesting. Like, I would love as an option, like, if I could flip a switch when I view my notifications and, like, group by person rather than app.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Like, you'd have to go ahead and you'd have to have a way to be like, this person is this on Instagram and this. Like, you have to do some setup. But once you did that, you know, I could be like, yeah, show me all the regular stuff. Or I could, like, tap a button. It's like, actually, show me all the stuff from Marissa. Show me all the rest, whatever. Like, that would be interesting.
Yeah. I'm sure Android probably has something like that, but it doesn't function. It functions half-heartedly.
Wow. Oh, man. How the mighty have fallen.
I'm positive. I know for a fact if I go back on Android, it probably works amazing. And I'm just sucked into the Apple ecosystem. I'm not having a good experience with my Apple TV.
Really?
Yeah.
So what's wrong with the Apple TV?
It, like, randomly just cuts out.
Huh.
Yeah. So lately I've just been using the Roku that's integrated into my TV. Yep.
It's a 4K TV, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Did
you get a really good HDMI cable?
I don't think I did. So maybe that may be what I need to do.
Yeah. You can have some issues there.
Okay. All right. Then that's an easy fix. Bet.
I'm not saying you have to go buy, like, whatever the crazy one the Best Buy wants to sell you, but just go on. Once again, our non-sponsor, the Wire Cutter, I'm sure they'll tell you the right one to do.
Okay.
I keep doing the dangerous thing of, like, checking in on 4K TVs and then, like,
bruh, they are ridiculous now. I should have waited. There is a Twitter handle by the name of Jason's Jigs, and I made the mistake of following them, and they have posted today. They posted a $1,500 4K HDR Samsung TV for $795. They're giving TVs away right now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm angry. Because the TV that I wanted, there was a Samsung TV that I wanted. I think it was a 7100. It was like six, I want to say. It was like six. Today, Walmart has it for $399. I'm angry.
Yeah. I said on the show before, like, someday I will just, you know, Marissa's going to come home and there's going to be an OLED 4K TV in our living room. And she's going to be like, oh, what's this?
It's going to happen.
I'm just trying to hold off as long as I can.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
We had talked about this on a previous episode, how there aren't really a lot of sports in 4K. It's almost a good thing. It's saving me money. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like Game of Thrones wasn't in 4K and sports aren't in 4K. I'm missing out on movies that I own that are already in 4K and Netflix. I know all that. But, like, I'm just glad that it's not, like, at that point yet.
How did you feel about the ending of Game of Thrones? Were you upset?
Upset is the wrong word. Like, okay. Like, I was actually more cool than most for this season. It was super rushed. Talk about pacing problems, for sure. And I was really cool all the way up until about 40 minutes, 50 minutes, whatever, into this last episode. If you haven't heard it, I'm just going to say spoiler, skip ahead like a minute. When John kills Danny. And I was cool with that even. I understood. Some people weren't happy, but I saw it come and made sense. Everything that happened, almost every single decision the show made after that made absolutely no sense and enraged me.
Enraged.
It was dumb. It was so dumb. And I was just like, this is how you're going to end? This? It was a bad 20 minutes. It was terrible. But honestly, like, the rest of the show is a great watch. I went back and watched the show all the way through twice. The second time it was great. The second time is great. It's a show that flies by. Like you got like in the wintertime, you like kind of snowed in. You got like a, you know, a 3-day weekend with not a lot going. You can just crank through episodes because it's super addictive.
Okay.
Anyway, all right.
So I'm talking to my daughter about Triller.
Yeah, Triller.
She doesn't have it. She knows what it is. She doesn't want it, and she hasn't heard groceries.
So you're saying I'm ahead of the kids?
Pretty much. Yes.
That's all I want to hear, man.
You're still good.
Speaking of people who've used these viral platforms to really make their career a success, your man Lil Nas X.
Yes.
After having super low budget video for Old Town Road, right? He gets the full on labels spending money like it's 1999.
Definitely got the Hype Williams Lil X package.
Right.
All we needed was a fisheye lens.
Right. He got the full big budget video for Old Town Road remix. Obviously with like any modern video designed to have moments that can be turned into animated GIFs and, you know, can you make a meme out of this? Like, I get all that. Like, that's the way that you spark conversation, right? I was watching the video and I was like, wow, somebody involved had too many ideas, right? Maybe it's whatever director did the video who was finally like, oh, finally a label opening up a budget. Well, here's what I'd like to do. Or like, seriously, or like, because this is Lil Nas X's first video, he's like, well, listen, I'm riding a horse.
Of course.
We're going to do this. Yes. We're going to do that. Like, you know. But
we're going to get Chris Rock.
Right. But the video serves a good purpose, came out at the perfect time in retrospect. Mm-hmm. Like just when you think, you know, interest in the song would be waning, this video will pick it up and accelerate it, or at least keep it steady for a little while. It is amazingly still number one. It is holding off Taylor Swift's, you know, lead single, which is saying something.
I think it also speaks to Taylor right now because I don't think she's really popping like that. Of course she is, because she's Taylor Swift, but I don't
know. Like, I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
Yeah. I work in an office with somebody who's a big fan of hers, and like she absolutely trashed the single.
I was listening to another podcast that was talking about how
interesting.
I know other podcasts exist.
No. I randomly text my daughter. Now we're talking about music, and I asked her what song was lighting the streets on fire, and she said there wasn't one.
Yeah, I guess that's right.
Yeah, she said everybody has their own taste in music and there isn't one song that everybody likes, which is really, really interesting.
That's what artists are all chasing, right? They all want to have that 2-week moment where they are the only thing anyone is talking about.
Absolutely. And I guess now that just might be old school thinking because it doesn't happen as often as... And I guess it can't, right? Because in our era, you know, there was enough space for one song to dominate everywhere.
I mean, I think that's why live events or time restricted events, however you want to call it, stuff like whether it's, oh, sure, you can watch Game of Thrones afterwards, but like a lot of people were watching it Sunday night, live sports, award shows, as you so accurately put it so many years ago on Glock Radio Speakers, it's about these moments.
Yeah.
And you can monetize these moments.
Absolutely.
And so artists are trying to create like when all this stuff just syncs up, and in this era where there's so many different options, they still reach this transcendent level of popularity where you turn the corner, they got you. Doesn't really matter. Wherever you go, they're there.
Yeah. I also, just to go back to Game of Thrones for a second, I don't feel sorry for you fans who are enraged with the ending.
Why is that?
Because this is what I deal with wrestling several times a year on a regular basis, where you're just like, there's an obvious way to go. And Vince McMahon is like, I'm going to go over here with the blonde white girl and the big, tall, strong white man. That's going to lead my show.
Well, he hasn't changed.
Not at all. Anyway.
Anyway. Yes,
moments.
Yeah. I mean, it's about these moments, right? And so, you know, whether it's, you know, at a small level, like Chance trying to craft these, you know, get this little like challenge moment going, seeing if one of them can really spark. It's like you said, like it's when it really sparks is when it jumps off of, say, Triller or TikTok and goes to Instagram and then Twitter. Like if that can happen, then you've really got something. And that's actually when you think about when does the video come out, right?
Yeah.
These platforms like TikTok and Triller have actually, in a sense, like especially if you're going for a certain kind of, basically if your audience is, I don't know what, 20 or under, then maybe 18 or under, something like that. Like if that's your audience, then this is now almost like the obligatory first step. You don't start with the video.
Right.
Right. I mean, unless it's a certain kind of, like there are, I mean, assuming that you're going, assuming your goal is, I want to have this song is meant to be catchy and popular. That's not what everybody's going for. We're going to talk about that on side B this week, right? That is not necessarily how everybody's deciding to release music in 2019. We got a couple examples of that. We got one on this week's show, right? Where it's not just like, I'm trying to put out stuff that is easily digestible. You can package it in these little bite-sized videos. It's loaded with phrases that are designed to be turned into memes, right? That is one way to go, but it's not the only way to go.
We hope you enjoyed Side A of this week's episode. Please check out Side B at clockradiospeakers.com.